Give you just a little update of where we've been in our Faith in Action series. And while you're doing that, if anyone has a cough drop, I've had some real difficulty with allergies the last month. And I've got some things that are going on in my head and my throat that aren't good. So a cough drop would help. So if you could bring that up now while I kind of bring us an update, that'll be great. Lifesaver. That should help. Thanks. We've been in a series from Acts chapter 10 and 11 that have basically taught us the beginning of what God intended for his new covenant with the world. We have the old covenant with the nation of Israel, and now a new covenant that is for all people. And we've seen signs of that in the Old Testament, that God not only intended to have something special for the Jews, but also for the Gentiles, which includes every ethnic group that has ever been in the world. And he's done that, and we've seen that through Ruth, who was a Gentile, through Rahab, who was a Gentile, how God saved the nation of Nineveh, which was a wicked nation, a Gentile nation. And now we come to the New Testament, and we see God's heart to bring both Gentile and Jew into his kingdom, which he's calling the church, and we're to be one. And the story starts out with the first, and I joked about this with Dom, the first Gentile that was called by God through the Jewish followers of Christ was an Italian. I can't believe that. But that's what God chose. A Roman soldier, Cornelius. And as we looked at the story, it's such a powerful story where even Peter resisted that. No, Lord, I'll never be part of the Gentiles. And God said this powerful statement, don't call unclean what I have cleaned. In other words, part of our salvation is when God touches our lives by the Holy Spirit and regenerates us, we are forgiven completely and our sins are gone as far as the east from the west. So it's a beautiful story. We're talking about maybe a 5 to 7 year period after Christ died and rose and ascended into heaven. And we're learning more and more of just the beauty of what God wants us to understand about the church. So I want to read this passage. We're in Acts 11, and Walter's going to put that on the screen here. I'm going to ask you to read it nice and loud. I'm going to read it quietly just to save my voice a little bit. But read this with me. This is the portion that we're going to cover today. Now those who have been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, telling the message only to the Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw the evidence of God, he was glad. One more. He was a good man, full of hope, spirit, and faith, and a great number of them. Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word. May it speak to our hearts today. I want to emphasize today that last portion about Barnabas. Barnabas is one of my favorite characters. So it was neat to know in the schedule of the teaching team that I got to speak a little bit about Barnabas. Scott next week is going to kind of give us a little more update on who Barnabas was and his character. If you saw in the scripture there back a few verses, it was interesting. After three times that Peter retold this story of him and Cornelius and what God had done and the sheet coming down and the unclean animals, as they saw Gentiles as unclean, and God is saying, no more. The message must go to the Gentiles. Did you catch that phrase, only to the Jews? They still haven't got it yet. But God is patient, and he's working on them. And God is patient with us as a church, and he's working on us. But here's the three aspects that really jumped off the pages for me that I want to talk about today for us as a church. Barnabas was a good man, full of the Spirit and faith. I want to look at good, filled with the Spirit, and filled with faith. Now, it's interesting, in our previous studies, especially in Romans, that we read, no one's good, no, not one. So I want to give you a little update. Some of this is pretty 101 Christianity, but it's good for us to remember. I want to remind you, even from the Old Testament, what Jesus says about good. I had this down here. Sorry about that. What the Old Testament said is in chapter 41. It's also, I thought it was in chapter 51. It says this: there's no one good. No, not one. Romans 3 says that as well. There's no one, as God looks out on the earth, says there's no good. Well, how can Barnabas be called good now? I want to suggest to you that Barnabas is called good in this passage because sometime between the life of Christ and Pentecost and the Holy Spirit coming down, Barnabas became a believer. Barnabas was transformed by the work of the Holy Spirit. And as the scripture says in Romans, he was justified or declared righteous and good. God's standard of good is certainly different than what we see it. We'll say that, oh, he was a good man. You hear that when people die on TV and they talk about him. Now, I want you to understand this. When God looks down on earth and is looking for good people, his definition of good is not what ours is. So what I try to do to make sure I'm on the same page with God, when I look around, I'll say this: that's a nice guy. He does nice things, but he's not holy if he doesn't know Jesus. And that's how God sees all people. That's how we want to see people, from God's point of view, so that as he's trying to get through to Peter on this, we want to take the news of the gospel to all people. We said this before here at Hope. There's no room for prejudice here in Christ Church, Hope Community, or any other church that names his name. And yet, sadly, there is in the hearts of many, even though they call themselves a believer. That must not be. And we want to be able for God to be pleased with us that he calls us good, not because of what we've done, but because of what God has declared upon us. It's said this way as well, okay? God declares me good. And now through the Holy Spirit and the process of sanctification, I'm becoming good. But I'm not there yet. And I want to strive every day to be what God wants me to be. So, Barnabas is a good man, a regenerate man, who loves Jesus and wants to proclaim the message. So he goes, and his heart is just filled with with joy over the fact that Jesus coined Gentiles to himself. That wants to be my heart. I'm going to skip over spirit-filled because that's what I want to spend most of my time this morning with. And I want to talk about full of faith. What does that mean? And of course, Hebrews 11 talks about what faith is, the evidence or belief in something that we don't see. We believe in God. There's many reasons why we do that. But because of our faith that there is a God, we have put our trust in Jesus Christ. It's part of the gospel again. If you're here today and have never recognized or believed that your sins can only be forgiven through faith in the one who died for you, rose again, and now sits in heaven praying for each one of us, you will not be declared good. That's a fearful understanding, but it's true. And our hearts here at Hope is that we pray for those who are part of our family that don't know Christ yet, part of our neighborhood, part of who we work with. Lord, let me be a light to those who don't know you yet. The most important decision they will ever make is to recognize that Jesus is Lord and to put their faith and trust in him. So Jesus wants us to understand, he wants us to be full of faith. A few times, excuse me, a few times through his ministry with the disciples, he would say this to them in a very sad and unpleasing way to his disciples. O ye of little faith. The time they were stuck on the boat and the storm came up and Jesus is sleeping. They got scared because they did not believe that the creator of the universe was right there with them. And he turned to them and said, you have such little faith. God wants us in comparison to have full faith. I don't know if you remembered, we've taught here before that I really don't think I need them. Walter, his knee. Stop scratching your knee, right? That's all right. It's coming. There we go. Faith is something God wants us to grow in. We grow in faith by listening to God's word, hiding in our heart. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The more faith we can grow in, the stronger our faith can be applied when life circumstances come at us. Rich prayed today for the things that are going on in our country, around the world. It's not good. But I want my faith to grow in the fact that there's a sovereign God who controls everything. Beyond my understanding, his purposes are being carried out, even in the midst of evil and hatred that's happening in this earth. Possibly he'll use, and he's not part of the evil, but he'll use the evil to bring someone to himself. There is a temperature out there for those of us who don't know God, who don't have solid faith in God, even Christians, who are scared about what's going on. God says, trust in me. Have faith in me. I'm in control. And I'm using these events that are happening to bring others to himself. That's what we want to be about here at Hope. So that when we go to Transnistria, when we go to, guys, to Chattanooga, you can represent your Lord by living for him and bringing examples of what it's like for Christ to live in you. And that's what I want to get to the to the last aspect of being filled with the Spirit. And I want to spend most of the time here. And I want to say it this way. I'm going to say some things that may appear to be outrageous, or they may appear to be something that you've never heard before, or maybe you don't believe. And I'm okay with that. I believe each one of us here personally are required to study God's Word for Himself. And I want to let you know, I try to do that with all my heart, relying on the Holy Spirit as I study and double check and triple check. But I can be wrong. And the body of Christ, we can help each other in that as we study, as we learn. But I want to ask you this question. What does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? Are all Christians filled with the Spirit? Now, when we became a believer, the moment we became a believer, a lot of things went on. The Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us, came and washed us clean, regenerated us, made us alive. We had the faith and the grace to say, yes, it's Jesus and Him only. And at that moment, the Bible says, I've been born again. I'm adopted into His family. And the Holy Spirit comes in and indwells us. I love how Paul Tripp shared this years ago when he was one of our teaching elders. It's as if the Lord unzips us and climbs inside of us and zips us back up. The Holy Spirit is indwelling me, and Ephesians tells us, forever. I'm one who believes I'm sealed until the day of redemption. But is indwelling, is being sealed, the same as being Spirit-filled? And I want to say to you, as I've studied, no, it's not. As a matter of fact, the Bible commands it in Ephesians, be filled with the Spirit. It's a command. So if it's possible, if He's telling me, Chick, be filled with the Spirit, then it's possible that I'm not filled with the Spirit. Well, what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? And as I studied, and over the years, just heard different things through all of Scripture, there's many ways that God tries to communicate to us what it means to be Spirit-filled. The word actually means control. God is saying to you and I, allow the Spirit to control you every moment of the day. Now, I want to share this because this is one of the ways we can study well as we do hermeneutics. As I try to understand what it does mean, I can certainly put away things of what it doesn't mean. And being filled with the Spirit doesn't mean I am sinless. When we look at the Scriptures, I have clearly an understanding that this old man is what he calls the flesh, my carnal spirit, that I'm to put off. Here's what he says about it. Crucify the flesh. Die to yourself. Put off the old man. Present yourself a living sacrifice to God. So then be controlled. Walk with. Abide. Jesus said this. Abide in me and let me abide in you and my words. And if you do this, you will bear much fruit. Here's another great word, let. It's a word of submission. Let the peace of Christ rule your heart. That's being Spirit-filled. When Christ is ruling my heart through the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm filled, I'm controlled. So then, if that's the case, I would ask you, how often do you think about being filled with the Spirit? Or another question, is being filled with the Spirit automatic? Anybody think it's automatic? Okay, I take that as a no. It's not automatic. If it was, our lives will be a whole lot different. What God is asking us to recognize that we have this old nature that is sinful and cannot produce anything that is good and righteous. But I've been given a supernatural nature, the very Spirit of God to indwell me. And I have the possibility for the Spirit to lead me. Galatians says this, if I walk in the Spirit, if I'm Spirit-filled, or if I'm letting the Spirit lead me, I will not fulfill the lust of this flesh, this old person, this sinful nature. Even though this is Christianity 101, this is powerful. And I ask myself, Chick, how often do I allow the Spirit to control me or walk with me or lead me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake? And let me say it this way. If I rely on my old nature, the natural man, there's no way I can accomplish anything that God wants for me. For Jesus said, Paul said this too, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. The flesh, the carnal nature, cannot produce anything that's righteous for God. So brothers and sisters, it is vital that I understand I need to live by the Spirit of God every moment. Confession time? There's no way in a 24-hour day I come close to that. But now that I'm old and I recognize the importance of that, I do believe I'm striving for that. And I want to teach and encourage you how to think about that. How do I become Spirit-filled? The Puritans said it this way. There was three means of grace for our journey here on earth. The Spirit of God is a means of grace. I cannot do it without the Spirit. The natural man can't. But I'm Spirit in Christ. He indwells me. I've been given the Word of God. Young people, we're living in a dangerous world. And I'll even say old people. If you don't understand that this word is vital for the journey of life, you're going to miss and mess up big time. Here's what God says about His word. My word is a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. I've hidden your word in my heart that I may not go astray. God's word is for our protection. God's word is for us to be able to accomplish good for His kingdom. I want to live for His kingdom. We here as leaders want you guys to live for His kingdom. And I believe overall we're doing that. But I believe as the world is deteriorating rapidly, the church needs to stand up and be the light of the world. And that's God's heart. And God can help us do that. So let me give you some instances or tips or avenues that God has helped me to be aware of and to practice on this journey of being Spirit-filled. Because my encouragement today, like Barnabas, let's be people who were Spirit-controlled to be able to accomplish God's purposes. There's so much on this. I don't even want to get into the fact of if I don't practice the presence of God or the control of the Spirit, everything I do is lost. It's burned up. Anything that I do living in the flesh, God says, that's all your earthly stuff. If people reward you for doing nice things, but it's not godly things, and they praise you, that's all you get. But when you and I live by the Spirit, God's writing everything down. He did that through me. She did that for my purposes. Oh, how we need to understand the importance of that. So here's what I believe God has taught me through the Scriptures, and I'm trying to practice, but I don't always. To be Spirit-filled, I need to have a vibrant prayer life. To be Spirit-filled, I need to know God's heart on everything. So I study His Word, and His Word becomes precious. I love His Word. Boy, is it right on everything. We've learned that in our Bible study these past months on Saturdays when we studied these things and what God says. He's right on everything. Don't be afraid today when you see the world falling apart. He told us it's going to happen. There will be lawlessness. And I believe, I won't be here, in my understanding of Scripture, but it says this, when the restrainer, which I believe is the Holy Spirit, is taken away, when we, the church, will go with Him in the rapture, the lawless one will be set loose. It's going to get worse. But I don't have to fear that because I'm part of what God's doing to send the message all over the world, to support the Kimbros, who where Jerry works for Surge in a mission organization that is exactly doing that. Or the Pancrats, who are trying to rescue children who are being abused immensely in India and China. And we're part of that. And the Kibazis in Uganda. There's so much opportunity that we're trying to do here, and what a privilege it is. But Spirit-filled, how do I do that? Well, I've learned this, and I do it a lot, but I don't do it every day. But the moment I wake up, part of my prayer life is, Lord, this is the day that You've made. And I want to rejoice in it, but I understand this. There's no way I can live for You apart from Your Holy Spirit because I don't know what lies ahead. Please, fill my heart today with Your Spirit so that when obstacles come, when temptation comes, I can say no to my flesh and yes to God, and He helps me overcome it. If I walk in the Spirit, I will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Corinthians tells me this. There's no temptation out there that isn't common to everybody. We are all tempted. But God says, listen up. I've made a way out for you so that when temptation comes, you can bear up against it. What is it? The Holy Spirit filling your life and empowering you to overcome temptation. I've done some things, and if you read Deuteronomy 6, this was instructed by God to the Old Testament. You're to love Me with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Now, don't forget that. Tie it around your kids' hands. Put it on the doorpost. Remember it. New Testament, put some monuments, put some things in your life that remind you of that. I'm in construction, so I shower when I get home from work. In the morning, I'll wash my face. I wash it 3 times. First of all, it helps to wake me up. Second is, I'm reminded of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. It sounds silly, but it's a great reminder, and it helps me that way. When I eat 3 times a day, sometimes 4 and 5, mostly 3. and I thank God for my food, I use that as another place to say, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for this food. And listen, now that it's lunchtime, I need you in the afternoon. Please, fill me, guide me, control my heart. Bring to mind your word when I'm being tempted, because God will make a way out of that every time. So there's powerful things that we can do, and you probably have some on your own. Every time I read the word of God, I pray, Father, there's no way in my flesh I can understand this book. But you tell me you've sent the Spirit to lead me into all truth. Lead me. Teach me. Tell me what's right and wrong. Because I can't do it on my own. And listen. This is powerful. I can live in the natural man and appear to do things for God. And I haven't even talked about what God's doing behind the scenes. I'm basically talking about our responsibility. God's doing great things, whether I do it or not. But in my flesh, it's possible that God can even use my fleshly deeds to further his kingdom. Except I don't get much credit for it because I've done it for me. God will even use the heathen and great wicked kings of the past for his purposes. That's why we can be assured of the leadership that we have around the world. Did you catch the North Korean guy? He's sending missiles out of the water right near South Korea. Wow, scary guy. He's under God's control. He will not do anything that God will not allow him to do. And it will further God's purposes. We need to believe that. And I can only do that by walking with God, by walking with the Spirit, by praying. Now hear this. This is a natural man. I have the possibility to live in the supernatural every moment of every day. And wow. That can be powerful. I can overcome sin. I can do great things to accomplish God's power in his kingdom. But here's the best. I can know God better. Because God has full control of my life. And he's revealing himself to me. And I'm watching him work in my heart and life. So that when things come my way, and I realize, Lord, I need you right now in this moment. It's tough. I want to doubt. I want to have fear. Even the way that person's treating me, I want to lash out. I mean, you know all the temptations we face. I can experience God's power in my life to say, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to be kind rather than be resentful and try to lash back or have revenge. Because God tells me, and this is neat, it's in his word, as I'm trying to walk with him and I've put God's word in my heart, he brings these to mind. It's wonderful. Chick, why do you want revenge? That's my job. You give it to me and watch while I work. So when I do, I supernaturally experience the power of God in my life. And I can have love for that person rather than resentment and revenge and even to the point of hatred. I shared this before. God's doing a work in my life when I drive the car. Out on the highway. When they cut me out, I'm doing a lot better because the Lord's helping me. I realize there's selfish people out there. I told you my big thing is, especially if I go down the city and I get on the Schuylkill Expressway, when you get on, the boulevard comes around and there's a whole lane that gets in there and everybody tries to get on the shoulder and go down. And it causes the great backup. And now we all get on. And I'm realizing they have sinful hearts. They're selfish. I want to respond selfishly. Lord, help me not to be that way. You want to butt in? Help yourself. Go ahead. Wow, that's wonderful. Simple thing like that. God's working in my heart. I'm learning that's what sinful people do. And God speaks in my heart and says, Chick, that's not what godly people do. Lord, help me with that. So that you and I can begin to get a vibrant prayer life all day long. You got to practice it. God will help you to grow in it. And I think there may be a lot of you that experience this. Wow, is that precious when I experiencing the holy, precious God living in me, helping me to every day become what he wants me to be, to respond what he wants me to be. The Lord Jesus, my Father, God, the Holy Spirit is becoming more and more precious to me because I'm seeing his glory and I'm recognizing the wicked person that he died for, and he's changing me. That can happen here at Hope, that if we would be fervently and aware that we need Jesus every day, that we'll allow him to abide in us and we'll abide in him and his word, he'll be changing us. We can be a caring place where God is transforming our lives. Because Barnabas had those attributes, we can have them. We're looking for someone to be a full-time pastor, to be part of the teaching team, to do a good portion of that. And it's neat to see what the search team is working on through, developing a profile, if you would, what the elders have done to say, what kind of man do we want to come? And we're seeing this with the team and with the elders. We need you to pray because we want God, as Rich prayed today, he knows who that man is, and we want to be able to find him. So lead us, Lord. It's been wonderful to see what God's beginning to do. We don't have to rush it. We want God's timing. And I'll just close in this before we think about communion. I don't know where you're at in your life right now. You could be overwhelmed with life. Could be a lot of things. We've had quite a few families move away because of good reasons. We don't have to fear that. If God wants more families to come, he'll bring them. You and I can still spread the love of God. We can believe that. I've seen it over the years. God is so good. God says, I will provide everything you need for life and godliness. We have to have full faith to believe that. He will not abandon us. And how do I know that? Because he said, I want you to practice coming to my table and feasting and remembering what I've done for you. This table is a reminder what Christ has accomplished for us and everything that we have. I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward as we pass this out. I want you to recognize this is a moment where you and I need to be filled with the Spirit. When you come to church to worship, the Bible tells us we can only worship him in spirit and in truth. So before you come in those doors, or maybe before you leave the house, Lord, I'm coming to worship today with your people. Hebrews tells us, do not forsake getting together with the assembly of God's people. People do that. Lord, we're coming today to worship you. Fill my heart with your Spirit, so when I come in here, I'm prepared to sing songs that Andrew has picked out, to pray with Rich or whoever's praying, that we could further your kingdom, to accomplish your purposes. I believe that's at the heart of what God wants us to do. And the cross proves to us the depth of his love. And when I say the cross, I don't want to talk about a piece of wood. That was horrific. I want to talk about the one who hung on the cross. My Lord and my Savior died for each one of us, allowed his body to be killed and ripped, because Hebrews says the Old Testament sacrifices, they weren't able to cover sin. But a body I was looking for to be prepared, because it's the ultimate sacrifice. So as the elements are being passed out, and we'll pass out the bread first, we'll pass out the juice, pray, spend time, God, thanking him, praising him, asking him to make this meaningful, because this is the anchor of our whole existence, is his death, burial, and resurrection on the cross. Invite his presence as we listen to this song. God bless.